Sports Gambling Podcast is brought to you today by Amazon. Amazon, your lead pipe lock for online retail. Log on to sportsgamblingpodcast.com and click the Amazon link to support the podcast. Welcome, everybody, to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm your host, Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan, Real Money Kramer. Ryan, what's happening?
Oh, man, Yankees just won in walk-off fashion.
Yes, we're taping this Wednesday evening. Just watched the Yankees. Yeah, like you said, Ibañez back to, well, wait.
Pretty badass to come to. So A-Rod was DH, and he hadn't done crap. And Jeter had just been pulled for injury in the top of the ninth.
Oh, okay, yeah, because that's what I saw. They put someone else in at shortstop, and I didn't really make sense of it.
It was crazy. I don't know why they let him bat in the bottom of the eighth. He could barely walk. He fouled a ball off his foot in the third inning, and like they showed him hobbling around. He couldn't even run. Anyway, so they decide to pinch it A-Rod. They pinch hit Ibañez for A-Rod.
That's pretty tough if you're getting pinch hit from the DH position.
A-Rod just broke the all-time record for times ending a postseason game with a strikeout the game before, and he just hasn't been hitting. I think he was one for his last 13 with like
said one extra base hit in the past month.
Hadn't looked good against Jim Johnson, so they brought in a lefty. Of course, the short porch, and Ibañez just cracks like the third pitch, ties the game. The game moves on. It's pretty much 1-2-3 innings. Ibañez gets back up in the 12th and crushes an upper deck.
Didn't he also have another one, an at-bat in between the two home runs where he took it to the warning track? He took it pretty deep.
No, I don't think that was him.
Oh, okay.
I think that was his second at-bat.
That's great. What a... Oh, man, the Phillies. Can't believe they let Ibañez go. Clutch performance.
Ibañez is going to get some pussy tonight.
He's going to do all right in New York. That's for sure. Oh, Ryan. Speaking of on a hot streak, I feel like I'm finally getting my NFL picking mojo. I feel like finally got a feel for this league and finally starting to feel things out. What's your take so far? Just broad strokes.
I don't know. I feel like it's been a pretty standard season. There hasn't been too much craziness. I guess Arizona's starting hot and Seattle, bit of a surprise. I think Houston and San Francisco are better than people expected. And I think the Saints and Green Bay are just... Ugh.
Yeah,
I think people have downgraded the Saints. I don't think they've downgraded the Packers yet.
No, I think there's still some value betting against this Packers team. We'll get into it.
They can't block. They can't really run the ball, and their defense struggles when they have to defend run and pass. So,
well, Ryan, let's get into that. That of course was your upset special pick.
I hope you sprinkle a little bit on the money line.
Exactly. We got that catchphrase from Dude Vegas Runner on the pregame podcast.
Yeah, Funny runner knows what he's talking about.
Funny.
They asked him. They're like, so what? If there's one thing that you could take from the season so far, you would tell your followers, what would it be? He's like, I've been saying it since the preseason that when you take a dog in the NFL, you gotta sprinkle a little bit on the money line.
Well, and they're
if you've been doing that, you'd be winning. Actually, you'd be wearing the ski mask into the sports books because you're robbing the place.
Well, and the logic is pretty sound because like last week. The spread only came into factor three times during the week. So if the dogs cover, the dogs seemingly, for the most part, win outright.
It's been like that most of the season. This was really the first week where the favorites did better. But I think the dogs are still heavily over 500 for the year. And, so, and a high percentage are winning outright.
So, Ryan, like we were talking about, the Colts playing for their coach. You got to see this coming. Like we said on the podcast, it felt like it was a real strong play, especially Indy plus 7 we had in the Hilton contest. Now, Green Bay was up big, and I was kind of surprised. I thought I expected a little bit better effort out of this Colts team early, but they just really turned it on the second half, covered the 7-point spread as they won outright.
Well, that's what scared me the most, is once Green Bay got up 21-3, I felt like that was the worst-case scenario. Their defense was going to start hitting luck, but, man, he looked poised. He made plays down the stretch, and the Packers kind of crumbled.
Yeah, now
kind of a shocker for a quote-unquote veteran team with a veteran coach and a, you know, an MVP quarterback. It was shocking that the Colts were able to come back and win that game.
Yeah, I felt good about the Colts pick overall, but I definitely didn't see it going down like that. I thought they would just keep it close the whole time, but I did not expect the dramatic comeback. All right, Ryan, another underdog we were on all week, and that was the Thursday night game. We had St. Louis. St. Louis was getting a point and a half at home against the Cardinals. To be honest, I didn't watch a ton of this game, but it seemed like St. Louis just took care of business with a solid defense and beat the Cards, won outright 17-13.
Yeah, both defenses played well. St. Louis kind of started the game opening it up with some long passes. And, yeah, I think, you know, the Arizona offense showed who they were. Couldn't block.
Captain Checkdown is back, baby.
I think Cobb got sacked 8 times.
He loves holding on to that ball.
And I got to say, those two young defensive ends, Howie Long's kid, Chris Long, and Robert Quinn, they looked really good. Yeah, though this seemed like a bad spot for Arizona. Short week on the road, not a great road
dogs,
team.
Dogs versus on Thursday.
Yeah, versus a team who's probably going to be a team you're going to look to bet when they're at home because they're going to be getting points at home a lot. So
St. Louis and Seattle, I feel like these NFC West teams, a little bit more fight than the public and the lines makers are given credit for, especially if you're getting points with them at home. I like it.
And maybe a better home field advantage in St. Louis than people think with the dome and the noise.
That is true. And it was Jeff Fisher night, Ryan. We should have hyped that up.
That's
more.
Right.
The Fisher mustaches they gave out, I feel like that could have swayed things for the Thursday night action. All right, speaking of feisty little teams, the Miami Dolphins went into Cincinnati, won 17-13. Miami came in, 3.5-point dogs. Man, I like Cincinnati pretty good in this spot, but Miami just came in, took care of business. Reggie Bush continuing his beast mode season.
Yeah, he. It's really strange that he's doing so well. And I you could have gotten hit, like you could have bet him to win the rushing title before the season for, what was I telling you, Sean?
50-1 or something,
Something crazy. And this team can play defense and run the ball. And Tannehill has shown that he can kind of limit the mistakes.
Well, and Tannehill's one of these guys. I'd much rather have a Tannehill almost than a Kevin Cobb, a guy who is too conservative, a guy who's afraid to air it out, a guy who holds on to the ball too long. I feel like Tannehill, his only problem is he's a little too aggressive, but at least from a fan standpoint, you got to appreciate that. It sounds cliche, but that gunslinger attitude is, you'd much rather watch that than a guy who on 3rd and 10 throws it to the 3-yard out route with no chance of getting the first down. You'd rather almost just see him try it, force it, and do something just to possibly get a first down.
Yeah, I don't know. God, Kevin Cobb reverted to form there. How did that team beat the Patriots?
Arizona.
I'll tell you why, Sean. Bill Belichick didn't want to pay Wes Welker, so he sat him on the bench.
The house of cards is crumbling down for Arizona. All right, Ryan, we'll get to New England here in a second. Let's wrap up the early game action. Baltimore Ravens went into Kansas City, eked out a victory 9-6. Late Flacco fumble should have been called. They managed to get a victory out of here. The Kansas City Chiefs fans, of course, big news, cheering as Matt Castle got knocked unconscious. And, they were talking about it on Sports Talk Radio, like, any of these Kansas City fans who claimed that they were cheering because Brady Quinn was going to get into the game, no, you were cheering the fact that Matt Castle got knocked out. So Chiefs covered there were 6-point dogs at home, covered that, and sounds like, by all accounts, should have won this game outright.
Yeah, they outplayed them, for sure. So Ravens got out of there with a lucky win, and Matt Castle's pretty much like a older version of Kevin Cobb. He has that same, like, check-down mentality.
Yeah, well, at least Castle at least got a team to the playoffs for 1 year before he got the big contract, so at least Castle earned a little bit of that paycheck. And as far as moving forward, I'm not that worried about this Baltimore team. Maybe I didn't watch as much of the game as some of you folks, but I feel like this was just a classic, you know, non-division game, on the road, kind of crappy team. Let this one slide by for Baltimore.
Yeah, they're definitely probably...
Classic looking ahead game.
Looking ahead to the Cowboys maybe a little bit. Coming off a tough game. I'm not too worried about it either.
Well, Ryan, your New York Giants, after spotting the Cleveland Browns 14 points, came back to win outright and cover the spread 41-27, covering the Cleveland spread 8.5, 9 points. I included Cleveland in my three-team teaser, which actually just barely hit because I think on the podcast...
Garbage touchdown they scored.
Yeah, we had it at 8.5. So you throw in the 6 points, that's 14.5. They cover it by a half point. I also had Philly plus 9.5 and Baltimore plus 1. So, or wow. No, I guess it would be Baltimore even.
Yeah.
Depending on, you know, these all point or two.
I don't know. At this point, Sean, can you name more than one quarterback you'd rather have than Eli Manning?
No, Eli Manning's playing great.
What, maybe Tom Brady?
I don't know. And you got to say he's doing it with a, the
so
Patriots right now. Patriots right now, their receiving core looks much better than the Giants.
Nix is out. Bennett was hurt. Barden out.
I mean, this Giants team is weird, man. I don't know how they spot Cleveland 14 points. I don't know how they almost lose to Tampa Bay. They lost to the Eagles. They lost to the Cowboys at home. So they put themselves a little bit of a spot in the division. But like I said, Ryan, they'll probably go 9-7. Probably win the Super Bowl.
Well, they close out the season against the Eagles at home. That game is definitely going to be for a playoff spot.
Circle your calendar, gentlemen. All right, speaking of my Philadelphia Eagles, tough loss against the Pittsburgh Steelers. The cardiac kids finally caught up to them. They covered the 3.5 points, but they lost outright 16-14. Big story is Vic is just unable to hold on to the ball.
Pretty remarkable.
Vicky don't lose the football. I've never seen my dad loves that joke. I've never seen it a case of fumbleitis hit a quarterback like this so hard before.
At such bad spots too. Like always going into the end zone and what, on like the 25? 35?
No, this one he was literally on the 1 yard line.
No, I know, but wasn't there a second one like on the 35 going in?
No, he fumbled 3 times. He lost 2 of them. The one was at their own 20, and then the other one was on the 1 yard line going in. I mean, it's pretty simple. This team, the Eagles team, has looked pretty solid. McCoy's looked good, and just Vic is just turning the ball over way too much. A couple times they've been able to persevere and make up for his mistakes, but a lot of the time they haven't been able to do it. So we'll see. I like him. I like him coming up this week, though.
Of course.
Atlanta Falcons. I like the Falcons laying 3 against Washington. RG3 got jacked up. That would have been the highlight. Ryan, back in the day, that would have been an awesome highlight. Now
yep.
It's just like...
Yeah, concussion.
Now the music changes. It's all dramatic. We have to think about this guy's brain. Atlanta won 24-17. RG3 got knocked out early. That helped Atlanta win and cover 3-point spread.
I think Washington probably would have won the game if RG3 doesn't get hurt.
That's what it sounded like. And early on, I felt like, oh, no. I had Atlanta, and I was like, this is just one of these games where Atlanta kind of looking ahead, that whole thing. Washington kind of a tough team at home.
But... Road team, too. I mean, Atlanta's still... They really haven't had a tough road test. I guess, San Diego.
San Diego's not an easy game.
Still, I think you still have to think about how this team isn't a great road team. And, Washington's not an easy place to play.
No, it's not. And RG3's obviously look good. Washington defense, 24 points against this Falcons team. Not that bad, actually. Okay, Seattle Seahawks went into Carolina, took care of the pouting Cam Newton.
What a bitch.
I know. I can't remember turning so much on a guy as far as his personality.
I have him on my Big Money Vegas fantasy team, and it's getting to the point now where we have to start considering starting Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I was going to say, Ryan Fitzpatrick puts up numbers.
And we, like, I watched most of all of his games, actually, and it's just, yeah. Like, his body language is almost as bad as Mark Sanchez's. It's just horrible.
Yeah. And he's, like, a more talented Mark Sanchez. I don't understand it. I mean, I understand teams figuring him out and him struggling, but I don't understand this just loss of mental composure. It happens to a lot of these, a lot of the quarterbacks, but does not make sense to me. Seahawks, the defense is just strong. Cam had a chance to win it late. They wouldn't have covered because Seattle's getting three. Seattle won 16-12. Okay, Chicago Bears went to Jacksonville. Laying, wow. Now, it looks like there were some late shifts here, but I think we picked it at 6.
Came down from 6 to like 4.5.
Yeah, I forget honestly what I went with on the podcast.
Didn't matter.
Yeah, Chicago.
Oh, did you take Jacksonville, you think?
Maybe on the podcast. I know in our pick'em, I went with I went with Chicago. This Jacksonville team, just not good. They kept it close 3-3 at halftime, and then Chicago just lit them up. Chicago defense just putting up touchdowns left and right. I think right now they're outscoring the offense.
What do they have, 5 touchdowns?
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah, they're definitely, I mean, God, I don't see too many scenarios where they don't win the division right now.
Well, Ryan, it's funny you say that because we'll move on to the next game where the Minnesota Vikings went into Tennessee, took care of business. I know a lot of felt like maybe some sharps were on Tennessee.
Yeah, I think that was definitely the sharps were all over Tennessee in this game.
Seemed like a little bit of a square play to go with Minnesota laying the points here. I'm really behind this Minnesota team. We talked about it last week. You got them to win the division at 15-1. I was saying it was still a good deal at 8-1. But this Minnesota team looks for real. Ponder's playing well. Well-rounded team. Percy Harvin is just
He's a beast.
Every year we see this. Just a certain receiver, super athletic, just finds a rhythm for finding the end zone. And this year it's Percy Harvin.
And AP is still – they're not really using AP full strength yet. So they're only going to get better.
Yeah, and they got Kyle Rudolph. I feel like he's a nice
– Jerome Simpson's getting him up to speed.
Yeah,
they got a good squad, and their defense has been playing tough.
Minnesota team is a force to be reckoned with.
I can't wait till Green Bay goes to Minnesota, and you can get Minnesota plus 3.5 or 4 in that game.
Wow, I don't know. I feel like eventually they got to get off this Green Bay. I mean, God bless the public, Ryan. FTP, like our boy Vicious V likes to say on the Twitter, fade the public. Okay, Denver Broncos went into New England. Had a chance in this game, it seemed like at times, but not enough for New England in their highly vaunted rushing offense. New England covers the 6.5, possibly 7, winning 31-21. Peyton put up some pretty decent numbers and seemed like just some, I mean, Willis McGahee dropping that 4th-and-1, Willis McGahee fumbling late. I forget which, if it was Decker or Thomas, had that deep pass early that they fumbled, basically going into the goal line. I mean, they're not really helping Peyton Manning out. Obviously, his arm is not what it used to be, but in a way, that kind of almost makes you respect him more as a quarterback. Like, this guy's getting it done with an arm that's clearly not what he was used to his entire career, and he's just kind of outthinking these defenses and still doing all right. And you got to be worried about New England right now.
Yeah, they ever since they put Wes Welker back on the field, they've looked really good. Ridley's the best running back they've had in a bunch of years. And I don't know. We talked about how 6.5 seemed like it was tempting to play Denver, but that we thought the play was New England. It just, or at least I did. It seemed like the New England offense is just really firing on all cylinders right now. And Peyton is like he's doing the almost cover act every week, it seems.
Here's the play with Denver. If they're going against a mediocre team or a bad team, go with Denver, but they just can't hang with the kind of the upper echelon, the top 6 teams.
They might be a weird team where you bet them as a favorite and you fade them as a dog.
Yeah, no, I could definitely see that. All right, Ryan, speaking of favorites, before we go too far, we're talking about the beefing Bill Belichick and Wes Welker.
Oh, wow.
Great quote.
Yeah,
you heard.
A local TV or radio, New England, Boston radio guy asked Wes Welker, "Yeah, do you how did it feel having that big game? Like in spite of all what's going on?" He's like, "You know, it's always nice to stick it to Bill."
Man, that
seems pretty clear that Belichick was trying to not play him to prevent him from putting up numbers and having to pay him.
There's no other sane explanation. And how does a guy like Brady put up with this? How is this not a bigger deal? That's what I don't understand. And they lost games. They lost close games. Yeah. How does it?
They don't lose to Arizona. If they
This Belichick, he's a good coach, don't get me wrong, but this guy's getting away with murder. He doesn't take any flack for the two Super Bowl losses against the Giants, getting out coached by Tom Coughlin. And he pulls stunts like this. The Spygate. Yeah, I feel like Bill Belichick doesn't get enough shit.
No, he's like he's kind of spoken about as God, but he's
yeah, and
he's a defensive mind that hasn't had a good defense in like 4 years.
Personal life. I mean,
he's a
shade ball in his.
He's
personal
shady
life.
On the. He's shady on the side. He tries to not. He's done this before. He tries to withhold money from players just. By not playing them, by altering game plan. Starting Julian Edelman over Wes Welker
but
is crazy.
It is crazy, but then also, maybe Belichick's onto something where like, hey, I'm going to control everything top to bottom because I realize that on these NFL teams, you start letting the players dictate, you start giving the players power, and that's when you start losing control, and that's when you start looking for a new job.
That's so, true.
Also, Wes Welker, underrated NFL comedian.
Yeah.
Wasn't he one of the guys who was early to
the... He was
the
one who brought up the Rex Ryan thing.
Yeah, and cracked some pretty good foot jokes. Like, we're going to put our best foot forward. Belichick suspended him for it or something. Like, find him. He got suspended for a quarter. Too funny. All right. Ryan, the New Orleans Saints at home, laying 3.5, previously winless. You had a strong play on the Saints, I feel like.
Yep.
You played them in our Hilton contest. I was kind of going back and forth. I kind of like that hook action that San Diego was getting. And New Orleans won, although I ended up betting the day of. I ended up taking New Orleans money line parlayed with the over, 3.5. That came through. It was pretty nice.
Yeah, it was a lucky win and cover.
It almost there was.
Their defense is really bad.
Their defense is awful. And I think San Diego got jobbed pretty hard on a couple of those calls.
Oh, those calls at the end of the game were awful.
Awful, awful.
Oh, and also, I think it's funny that no one brought up the fact that NBC twice played that Flo Rida whistle song going into break. It's a song about blowjobs. Like, what is NBC trying to... They always try to send a message with their songs. Like, what message were they saying?
They always play, like, the Victor Cruz salsa?
Saying that, like, the NFL was blowing the Saints during this game with the refs and Sean Payton being allowed to go in there?
That was
super subliminal.
That was a deep, subtle message the NBC was trying to send. Now, Ryan, we're moving on to Monday Night Football real quick as far as songs.
Oh, you skipped the Niners.
Oh, yeah, sorry. The
Snooze Fest.
Yeah, exactly. I think I skipped it as well as most of the public. 49ers just came out and racked the Buffalo Bills 45-3, covering the 9.5
ease. They might be the best team in the last, like, 5 to 10 years that I just couldn't believe is a good team.
Well, I think it's...
I watch them, and I'm not
scared
of them.
Your brain's ingrained with Alex Smith hatred, Ryan.
I'm not scared of them. Because if you get up 10 points on them, they're pretty much useless.
Well, and also they just... unrelated, but I think they just set some record for margin of victory that hadn't been for, like, back-to-back games. It was crazy. 34 and 42 points. That's a combined, what? 75 points. And, the San Francisco team is one to be reckoned with. That's for certain. All right, speaking of Monday Night Football, Ryan, can we just forgive Hank Williams Jr. and bring him back? Everyone loves the song, Are You Ready for Some Football?
Yeah, we should probably talk about this, because, I mean, it's bad enough what the NFL Network folks did with his CeeLo Green bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look, NBC figured it out. You just get a hot chick up there singing shit about football.
Yeah, every time I see that
Or you get a country guy like Hank Williams.
Exactly.
You get something that makes you want to drink and watch football. You don't get CeeLo Green with his weird Tyrannosaurus Rex arms. That guy's a... Anyway.
The people who watch The Voice don't watch football. It's two totally different things.
Oh, my God. So what is ESPN even doing now?
I don't know. I think they do some, like, random song. I don't know.
They do, like, a montage or some dumb
shit. It's awful,
right?
Ryan. It's awful. And we need... And also...
fuck Hank Williams. Get Toby Keith. He'll do it.
Yeah, one of these guys. Whoever sings about terrorists
Toby
can sing
Keith
about
football.
Toby Keith
loves football in America. Kenny Chesney loves football. Just get one of these fuckers up there.
Exactly. And also bring the two helmets crashing together and exploding, all right? I love that graphic. I don't care if it... In you know, basically incites more concussions. Bring that back. Okay, Ryan. Monday Night Football action. We were proudly touting our Jets plus eight pick everywhere we could go. People thought we were crazy.
I had some people I work with basically go, "You're retarded. Explain to me how the Jets are not going to get blown out." And I was like, "Ah,
should we?"
Everyone regresses to the mean. Everyone in the NFL, and it, you know. Not to mention, it was a 21-point home dog or 21-point underperforming of the spread by the Jets.
Previous
followed
week.
Up with a huge home dog action. I mean, this when this went up to 10, this closed at 10, 9.5 or 10. That's crazy. I mean, what do you think, Sean? Five times in a season, you might see 10-point home dog.
Especially in prime time.
In the NFL,
I can't remember any time I've seen that. The game that I was immediately thinking of was when the Eagles were at home, and I think they were – this was when the – I think it was the year the Patriots went undefeated, and I think the Eagles were like 13-point dogs at
like
home.
12, yeah.
It was crazy. I'd never seen a spread that big for a home dog.
But the main thing is when a team underperforms the spread by 21,
they're getting
and they're
points
catching
next week.
Points next week, especially at home – just close your eyes. Don't think about it. Close your eyes.
It doesn't feel good, but you know it's the right play.
And you watch the game, and Houston's dominant in their scoring drives, but somehow the Jets hang around. They get a kickoff return.
Oh, man.
Houston
and they
just stops being able to run the ball. Like, weird crap happens, and the next thing you know, the Jets have a chance to win.
They threw the kitchen sink at them, and it almost worked. They almost got that onside kick.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, yeah.
Interception, huge special teams plays.
A couple tip balls. And Sanchez threw a couple picks. And
Arian Foster was running for like 7 yards a carry.
And excuse my language, but you motherfuckers, let Tim Tebow play. Let my man play.
Well, here's the thing. So, looked at some stats before we went on the air here.
Oh, you can't bring stats into Tim Tebow.
No. This is in favor of Tim Tebow.
Oh, okay. Then I'm fine with that.
So there have been 36 quarterbacks to play enough to throw the ball enough to qualify.
Okay.
36 quarterbacks. That includes some backups in there, right? Only one of them is under 50% passing the ball, and that's Mark Sanchez. Tim Tebow can complete 50% of his passes. That's not saying much. I mean, if you complete 60% of your passes, you're an average NFL quarterback. If you can't complete 50, you're not a starter. There are probably 5 to 7 backup quarterbacks that are better than Mark Sanchez.
Nick Foles, I think I would take Nick Foles over.
Forget Nick Foles. Tavarius Jackson and Jason Campbell, I would take over
Joe Webb, baby.
Joe Webb wins games. I mean, Mark Sanchez is awful. I'd take David Carr over him. David Carr's Tyrod Taylor on the Ravens.
Matt Flynn?
It's just crazy.
Yeah,
it's
John Skelton.
Crazy.
There's a lot of better backups than Mark Sanchez right now.
And then so why not play Tebow? He gives you a different element. He'll probably complete 50-55% of his passes.
And he gives you a chance to run. He gives you a chance to mix up all those other plays. And he fucking wins fucking games.
And, yeah, I don't know. The one thing I would say is he definitely gets the crowd and the team amped up. Like, when he had that fake punt, everyone was amped up afterwards.
When he had that run for 11 yards down near the goal line, the place was electric.
And you, like, we all know he's not a great quarterback. But
that's why he's so likable.
One of the things he got going, I mean, Denver did not have a good defense this year. They don't have a great defense, last year. They don't have a great defense this year. So I think all the extra, the defense was good last year because of the effort due to the fact that they were amped up. Because of Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow got Mile High rocking. Yeah. Right now, can you say Peyton Manning is Can you, without a doubt, if you had to bet your life on it, would you say Peyton Manning Broncos are better than the Tim Tebow-led Broncos of last year?
Yes.
You would bet your life on it?
Yeah, no, they're definitely better.
You would think...
But here's what I would quantify.
But would the Tim Tebow Broncos team win?
They're better because their offense is better. The defense, which didn't change much this year to last year, is not playing as hard.
Defense
is... And why aren't they playing as hard? Well, part of that, Dawkins no longer on the team. But Tim Tebow, he just got the team playing hard. It's kind of a crazy statement. But at this point, if you're the Jets, I know your season's not over. You're 2-3.
And also, he was a master of ball control. This Jets defense needs a guy who can drive the ball. They needs a guy who can hang on to the ball. And he had a great throw to Hill, who should have caught that.
Yeah, look, he's not going to make great passes, but he makes the defense defend a two-way player.
He makes great plays, and he inspires your team.
But this is mainly, I'm saying this mainly because they have the worst.
And God!
You can't say that Tim Tebow is a top, probably a top five backup quarterback. You want to rank backup quarterbacks. So if you're a team with the worst starting quarterback, why, and you have a top backup, why not throw him in there? If a starter in a baseball game is struggling, look, Barry Zito tonight struggled out of the gate. They bring in Tim Lincecum, pitches for, why not?
A-Rod, struggling.
Why not play two
starters? He's awful.
But why not play two starters? I mean, I know it's because of the psyche of Sanchez. Tim Tebow wouldn't care. He just takes advantage of his opportunities.
All right, anyway. Ryan. Real quick, let's update our ESPN pick 'em. I somehow forgot to pick in it.
Yeah, Sean made zero picks.
Well, that's I can drop that
week. Still tied for fourth with RG for the money. Oh, Sully getting in the mix.
Our buddy Matt Sullivan.
Nothing worse than Sully trying to win free prizes.
Matt Lib on Twitter hit me up saying he was coming for me. I realized I totally blanked on a...
Oh, wow. So, tied with me in second, Raider Nation. Still holding down the third spot. Pretty much a down week for everyone. Part of that, only 14 games. And then in first, R. Atchford. He changed his name a little bit. So, he's been holding the top spot. He's even last week, in his worst week, 7 out of 14. So, having a strong season.
Look out for him. All right, Ryan. Let's dig in to the week 6 action.
All right. All right, Sean. Thursday night football. Oh man, what a game. I don't really want to watch. Pittsburgh Steelers traveling to Tennessee to face the Tennessee Titans. +5.5.
Oh, Ryan. Man, Thursday night football, I feel like you just got to give me these home dogs.
Yeah,
Pittsburgh's team is old, especially defensively. No Polamalu.
This is not a full-on close your eyes and take the points. This is a probably like a close one eye, take the points. Tennessee's going to be amped up. It's a home game. It's early in the season, so they haven't given up on the team yet. Hasselbeck, one more week under his belt. And let's be honest, the Steelers aren't that good this year.
No. I was down on the Steelers from day one. I said, this is the year, the Baltimore Ravens. Yeah, they eked out a victory against Philly at home, but that was almost a must-win. They were coming off a bye. I feel like this short week is just not good for this old Steelers team.
Yeah, I mean, their O-line isn't great. They have a good quarterback. They have good receivers. Mendenhall looked good coming back, but Polamalu's out again.
Roethlisberger. Bickering with the offensive coordinator.
Yeah,
he's like calling old plays from the old offensive coordinator. A lot of drama.
The defense, I think Woodley's going to be out with a hamstring issue. He's at least questionable. Palomalu's out again.
And Harrison, on 4 days or, you know, a couple days rest. Any of these guys.
I think, yeah, it's just a tough spot to go on the road on a short week.
I just think it's going to be tough for this Pittsburgh team to get up for this game.
And I honestly thought this was going to be like a Steelers laying 3.5 to 4. I was a little surprised it came out at 5.5 or 6. It's 5.5 in the Las Vegas hotel contest.
Yahoo Pick'em currently has the public going 79% on Pittsburgh. So if you needed another reason to go with Tennessee.
Yeah, and actually this is one of those games, fair amount of action already laid on the game. It opened at six. 84% of the bets coming in on Pittsburgh. Get the lines dropped to 5.5.
Sharp action like us.
Yeah, I think it's a Tennessee play. I think it's a decent play, actually.
Decent, strong play. Okay, Ryan, let's take care of these.
All right, here we go. This is the Who Gives a Shit Bowl in Ohio. Bengals travel to Cleveland to face the Browns. Game opened at 3. Bengals laying 3 on the road. It has since come all the way down to a pick.
Wow.
Very suspicious, as 78% of the tickets have come in on Cincinnati, yet it's dropped from 3 to a pick. This is a weird game. At
classic stay away from
at
me.
At 3, I'm taking the dog. At a pick'em, I'd probably slightly lean on the Bengals. Probably not a game I'm going to be wagering on.
Well, I put this Cincinnati in a tease, and I picked it from even to 6. I feel good about that, but I just think this, Cincinnati's just a much better team. I mean, I think it's a division game. Cleveland keeps it close.
One big thing, Joe Hayden, their star cornerback, coming off a suspension. You got to assume he's in shape, ready to go, and he probably will blanket A.J. Green. But I'd lean on Cincinnati in this spot at a pick'em. All right. The Indianapolis Colts coming off big win, traveling to the Meadowlands to face the lowly Jets. Game opened up, Jets 3.5.
Wow. Yeah. Love that hook.
Would have loved to grab the half point. It's since come to 3. I'm not sure I can take the Jets as a favorite. I know it might be a slight overreaction with the results of the Colts-Packers game, but I'm gonna grab the points here. I think Andrew Luck is really starting to mature. The Jets can't really get a pass rush. They certainly can't run the ball. They can't really move the ball on offense. I think in a relatively low scoring game, the Colts can eke this out like 17-13 or something.
I mean, well, if Tim Tebow starts, all bets are off.
Oh,
but
wow.
Assuming Mark Sanchez is starting.
Yeah, asterisk next to mine too. Assuming Mark Sanchez starts.
I like this Indy team. They got a little bit of fight in them. Possible worry about a letdown game after the Green Bay debacle, but really, on a short week for this Jets team, I just do not see them getting up at all for this game. I think that loss to Houston was devastating. There's just got to be mental repercussions where you try everything, every gadget, every gimmick you have in your little sack there, and it doesn't work. So give me Indianapolis here, and, like our boy Vegas Runner says, don't be afraid to sprinkle a little on that money line.
Yeah.
This Indy team's playing like a team, so we'll see.
Especially it's at 160. That's a nice price. All right, Kansas City. Oh, man, how bad is Romeo Crennel as a coach? Kansas City travels to Tampa Bay. The line
you get that Kansas City under in, right?
Oh, man, I wish. Kansas City travels to Tampa Bay.
I love how they were a chic pick to possibly win the AFC West.
They stink. Although, they're honestly not that bad.
They had a lot of guys injured last year. That was their problem. I mean, yeah, they are outgaining teams, but
I'm not sleeping on this team yet.
I lost faith in that team when I bet on them to beat the Chargers 2 weeks ago, and they turned the ball over 6 times.
Yeah, that's true, but, you know, so the line's 3.5. I'll tell you, I'm playing the Chiefs here. Don't love it. Playing the Chiefs, here's why. They've moved the ball in every game. Castle's out of the game. Brady Quinn a little more. I feel like he's going to take a couple more chances, throwing the ball downfield to Bo. And honestly, I think the team's going to rally around the backup. I think, and the Bucks just haven't been. I have not been impressed with them. If not for that strangely good first quarter against the Skins, they probably get blown out. Same thing. They played about a quarter and a half of good football against the Giants. They looked horrible versus the Cavs. I think the Chiefs are a better football team, so I'm going to grab the points.
You just made a compelling argument, Ryan. I was early on Tampa Bay. Especially at three.
I just don't think they're...
In the Hilton contest, is it 3.5?
3.5. They're not a team that you lay 3.5 with.
Yeah. The Tampa Bay team's just not good. Maybe Kansas City does something weird here and keeps it close. And like you said, Brady Quinn, there is something to a guy just playing for a job, coming in with some mojo, not playing scared. He's on the road, no pressure. Literally, Brady Quinn, nothing to lose, only to gain. Give me the Chiefs.
All right, next up, the Hotlanta Falcons hosting the Oakland Raiders. Game opened up at 9.5. That most heavily bet game this week. 85% of the tickets coming in Atlanta, yet the lines dropped to 8.5. I don't care. This is a square play. Give me the Falcons. The Raiders aren't that... I know they're coming off a bye, but this is not a good matchup for them. Atlanta will slow down the run. They're going to fall behind. It's Atlanta at home. Matt Ryan doesn't lose at home. I think this is a blowout. I think that after this result, we might be looking to bet the Raiders next week. I think the Falcons win big. I also think this is definitely a game you throw in the teaser. With 6 points, you can cross 7 and 3 all the way down to 2.5. I think this is one of my better bets this week.
Yeah, I like Atlanta big here in this spot. Oakland, West Coast team going to the East Coast for the 1 o'clock start.
Didn't even see that,
Green. Oh, Ryan. I love that play. You know, we said that was a lock when they went and played Miami. It was a close your eyes special. Even when people were thinking, will this Miami team even win a game? I think, obviously, it's all about matchups, which I don't think favor the Raiders in very many aspects. I mean, you look, they couldn't get up for their division rivals, the Denver Broncos, who worked them with a much inferior passing game with what the Atlanta Falcons bring to the table. Atlanta's defense is much better than the Broncos. I don't think this coach is inspiring the Raiders at all, and I think they're going to get worked pretty hard.
And a little inside info, flying back from Oakland, flying back on a flight from the Oakland airport on Thursday, who's on my flight? Darren McFadden and Ford, whatever.
Jacoby Ford.
So they were clearly coming to L.A. to party. they're going to be off their game a bit. Even more reason to like the Falcons. All right, moving on. Dallas Cowboys hit the road. Kind of a west-to-east game. Going to Baltimore, where Baltimore is laying 3.5. This line opened at 4, 3.5, pretty much stuck around there. Oh, man. This is not a good line. This should be 5.5. I think Ravens should be favored by 5 to 6 points. The Cowboys are just not that. I know people like to talk about how their defense isn't bad. They move the ball. It's just Romo's picks. Well, it's part of it. He stinks. It's a road game. The Ravens are coming off a close call. God, they're gonna. I think the Ravens win this game by a touchdown or more.
I agree, Ryan. I like the Ravens here, big in this spot. Obviously, a little blinders on against the Cowboys, but. Dallas, averaging 16 points a game. Granted, Baltimore's defense is not what it once was, but I don't think you go into Baltimore and put up big points. I think Baltimore is going to be able to move the ball against them. Baltimore is one of the more complete teams, I think, in the league right now. I think this line is a little low based on the Dallas coming off a bye and the fact that they didn't look that good against the Chiefs. But I think they rebound big here at home, and the Ravens' best home field advantage in the league right now.
Yeah, and I also, because the Ravens run the hurry up, the Cowboys are capable of putting up points.
I mean, honestly, so what we're saying is on an even field, well, even the Ravens' home field is so strong, books might be seeing it as 3.5. So on an even field, we're saying these two teams are equal, or if anything, Baltimore's only a half point better. That feels a little off to me.
I think they're saying it's equal, I think they're saying that Baltimore is a full point better, because I think they usually give the Cowboys an extra half point, I feel like, just because people bet on them. But also, because of the offenses in this game, 44 is the total. Seems like it might be a nice overplay. All right, Sean, the Detroit Lions, who have looked like garbage, traveled to Philadelphia where they faced the Eagles in the Link. This spread opened up at 6.5. It is, people are crushing Detroit. It has come all the way down to 4. It's 4.5 in the Hilton contest. Am I crazy for thinking the Eagles should be, like, that 6, I feel like that 6 is a good line.
Yeah, in our Yahoo, it's down to 4.
At 4, 4.5, I almost want to take the Eagles. I just think the Lions, their D-line hasn't played as well as they expected. They can't really run the ball. Stafford has been inconsistent. And I think the real match, because the Eagles' defense has gotten pressure on quarterbacks, I think the real matchup here is I don't see how Detroit's defense is going to slow down Philly's offense, especially with that. They've gotten back to their run game a little bit. I think I hate taking all these favorites, but give me the Eagles.
Yeah, I mean, all right. So here's my take on the Eagles. I think they should win here, and I almost like them to win big. The wild card, Michael Vick. I can't predict him or his turnovers. He could do the same thing he did last week against Pittsburgh, turn it over in the end zone, stuff like that. They're not going to win or cover a 4-point spread with more stuff like that. I think he realizes what's at stake and hopefully can figure it out. Fumbling, I think, is a lot right now for Vic as a mental thing. Can he overcome that hurdle? I don't know. But I still like Philly, especially at 4. And if it goes below that, I feel really great about it. I feel good about Philly up to 6 points. And just hitting on a lot of the similar stuff you hit, Ryan, I just think the matchups favor them. I mean, what can Detroit do? Well, they can pass the ball, but you got DRC and Nnamdi, and they've been Nnamdi hasn't had a great year, but DRC has been playing really strong. So I think them as a combination is fairly strong there. And I just think Philly's going to be able to move the ball. I think McCoy's going to have a big day. And like you said, I think Detroit's a little too one-dimensional. And the thing, I think we're overreacting a little bit to that Pittsburgh loss. Eagles were in a bad spot there. Also, you can't count on teams getting up for non-conference road games. So I think at home, at the link, Eagles roll.
Yeah, and, you know, coming home off a loss, I kind of like that. And
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I feel like Andy Reid, after a straight-up loss against the spread at home, has got to be a fairly strong trend.
Lions are coming off a bye, though. Anyway.
Yeah, the Eagles, just that's all they do is play teams coming off byes.
St. Louis Rams traveling to Miami to face the shockingly good Miami Dolphins. This line opened at 3. It has since moved to Miami laying 3.5.
Ugh.
And I got to be honest, Sean, I have a hard time. Kind of for the same reason that I don't feel like the Bucs should be laying 3.5. I don't think the Dolphins should be laying 3.5. I know the Rams have not been a great team this year, but these two teams are very similar. Can run the ball, play defense, don't have a great passing game. I'm going to say the matchup's similar enough to where I want to grab the points here.
Sound logic, Ryan. Sound logic indeed. I'm going to take it. I agree with you. I think this is a classic stay away.
Not betting real money on this game.
I mean, if you have a strong take on this game, hey, feel free to tweet it at Gambling Podcast. Give me your logic. I think this one's tough. I think the number's pretty solid. I think St. Louis coming off long rest, getting that hook, I can see a great argument for that. I'm going to play the argument of best player on the field.
Well, Reggie Bush banged up, too, still.
Yeah, but I don't know. The guy's been running hard. And I'm just going to play the Reggie Bush card, best player on the field, and I like Miami here. And I like Tannehill at home.
Yeah.
It's more a bet against Sam Bradford on the road.
Gun in my head, I'm picking the Rams in a contest.
I'm going to go with the Dolphins just because I like going against dome teams on the road.
Not wagering money on this one. All right. Patriots coming off their beatdown of the Broncos. I guess it wasn't a beatdown. Traveling west out to the 12th man where they'll face the Seattle Seahawks. Seahawks, home dog spot, getting 3.5. The line actually opened at 4.5, and it's dropped down to 3 in some places. 3.5 in the Hilton contest. My brain, everything inside of me that's intelligent says this is a spot you take the Seahawks. Non-conference, Patriots are going to let down.
Non-conference road game. 12th man.
The Patriots offense is hitting on all cylinders. Aaron Hernandez probably back. I got to be honest. And Russell Wilson still has not been impressive. He has not lost games. He's not won games. This is definitely my square play of the week, but I'm gonna ride this Patriots team. I think they can. I mean, the Seahawks won't be able to come back. That's how I see the game. And especially now that the Patriots can run the ball, they can run clock at the end of games. I like the Patriots here to win by. I don't know. This feels like a 31-17 game, Patriots.
Well, I don't find your analysis inaccurate, Ryan. I'm gonna listen to that part of my brain.
Yeah.
I have a good feeling about Seattle as a 3.5-point dog. 3.5 is the magic number for Seattle as a home dog,
yep,
as it was when they faced off against the Green Bay Packers Monday night. Late game on the West Coast, that means the fans of Seattle are going to be liquored up. The place is going to be rocking. And, Ryan, you forgot about a little guy by the name of Marshawn Lynch.
Yep, beast
league,
mode.
League leader right now in NFL rushing yards. So I can't explain it. Except give me Seattle, 3.5.
Yeah, like I said, that's probably the right pick. I mean, I think if you blindly take NFL 3.5-point home dogs, you're going to win.
But Seattle, man, 3.5 home dog Seattle. This is what you dream. So the
this is what they're
you.
Saying. I think Seattle gets a full point at home, full extra point for their home field. I'm going to say that. So they're saying that New England is 4.5 better on a neutral field. I think that's true. Anyway.
Oh, wait, sorry. So you're saying Seattle's 4 points
better.
Oh, sorry.
They're saying they're 6.5 points better.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think that's about right. I think it's about a touchdown better. I'm gonna lay the points here.
Just the magic of Seattle at home.
Yeah.
I'm going to ride it.
Showing the fish being thrown on the commercial breaks and all that bullshit.
Love that.
All right. Next up.
Grunge rock. Nirvana.
We got
coffee. Seattle.
We're going to be closing our eyes on this one, Sean. The Buffalo Bills coming up. A 21-point underperforming of the spread. Travel to Arizona to face the somewhat exposed Arizona Cardinals.
See, Ryan, real quick, I don't mean to jump on your point, but I feel like this is where we're getting jobbed, is because everyone's trying to jump off the Cardinals right now. Where,
yeah, bad timing. Would have been nice if the Cardinals won and this spread was 5.5.
Oh, I bet you if the Cardinals would have won convincingly.
No, it wouldn't have been more. Maybe
it
would have
been six.
Maybe six. So Buffalo travels to Arizona. Not going to point out too many reasons why I think this didn't happen. Couple, Arizona can't block anyone. They have Kevin Cobb, Ryan Williams out for the year. They're now down to a guy who had a concussion last week, Will Powell, Stevens Howling, and some other guy. I don't think their offense is going to be able to get it done. I think the Bills are going to be able to score a couple points. Again, I think this will probably be kind of low scoring. So I'm going to, other than the reason of taking the team that underperformed the spread, I'm just going to take the. I would have taken the points in this game regardless. I definitely like the Bills. We will be playing this in the Hilton contest. Do you disagree, Sean?
No, I don't disagree. And I think CJ Spiller gets a little bit of his mojo back.
Him and Fred Jackson healthy.
I think they were in a bad spot. They came back kind of unhealthy against New England. Then they had to travel out to San Francisco against that defense. Feel like maybe they find some holes this week against Arizona. And like we said, Kevin Cobb, Captain Checkdown, is back. And
I mean, mainly their offensive line, just they looked awful.
Worst case scenario here, Ryan, is Kevin Cobb gets knocked out and Skelton comes back and leads them to victory.
Yeah, that would be horrible. But yeah, good. We're both definitely taking the Bills. All right, next up, Minnesota Vikings traveling to Washington to play the Washington Redskins. RG3 cleared to practice. Practice today on Wednesday. Seems slightly unlikely that he'll play. But can we really start? Is Minnesota a team that lays points on the road?
What's the spread at?
2.5. If you feel strongly that RG3 isn't playing, I think you have to play Minnesota.
I already played Minnesota, and I got them getting 1.5 at our thing.
Getting 1.5.
Yeah, Vikings getting plus 1.5.
Oh, wow. The line in the contest is Vikings minus 2.5.
Yeah, see, that's what I think. I think Hilton put out that line thinking that he's not going to play. And that's why I took it at. That's why I took the Vikings at plus 1.5 when I saw that.
Wow.
Almost even money, because then I figured maybe
that
late.
That could close at 3.
That could close at Vikings minus 3, so I could play both sides.
If that somehow got to Vikings 3.5, you definitely have to hedge that.
Yeah, that was kind of my plan, was that he's not going to get ruled out till late or possibly right before the game, and then that's where you might see
a nice
3.
Middle. All right. So I think it's a classic layoff, though, and so that's maybe a Sunday morning player whenever you hear news about RG3 playing.
But I like Minnesota here. Even if RG3 plays, I'm on board with this Minnesota team, Ryan. They seem like they got their swagger.
I don't know if I can play him if RG3 is going to play. All right. The New York Giants traveling to the Bay Area for the third time in the last season and a half. Super, super big revenge game for the 49ers. Giants, probably the best offense that the Niners have faced at this point. I know they faced the Packers, but I mean, the Packers haven't done much. I think the key to this game will be the Giants getting out ahead. Spread opened at 5.5. It's now up to 6.5 in most places, although it closed in the Hilton contest at 4.5. That's kind of a big difference. Tough. I wagered online as soon as the line came out. I got 6.
6 is a nice number here.
I think the key to the game with the Giants need to get out early and score. I think the one team that got out on San Francisco was able to get ahead of them and put them out of their game plan. San Francisco has been really awesome, but they've also played some really bad offenses. So I don't know. I'm hopeful the Giants can keep it close. This is one of those games I feel like the Giants could win by 2 touchdowns or lose by 3.
I don't see the Giants losing that big here. I think...
Really? You don't think it could be a blowout?
I don't see it.
All right.
No, I don't see it. Just because the way Eli Manning's throwing the ball right now.
He could bring him back from any deficit.
The way they're great on the road. The way that he's just moving the ball around.
They know they can win in San Francisco. They did it twice last season. They went 1-1 last season.
I think they could win this game. So if you think a team can win the game, I think you got to take 5 points, 6 points, 4.5. I think it could come down to a field goal with San Francisco winning. I just think originally I was thinking maybe San Francisco, but part of me is just like you said, talking about regressing to the mean, Ryan, I think the 49ers being on their 34-0 shellacking of the Jets, 45-3 shellacking of the Bills.
And their value's at an all-season high, definitely. All-time high in the last 5 years, probably. They're just – the perception of them couldn't get better, could it?
Yeah, and it's also one of these things like – all right, so they lost to Minnesota, but then since then they beat the Jets 34-0, Bills 45-3. I feel like they got to cool off a little bit. I mean, right now Alex Smith is leading the league in QB rating. I feel like he cools off a little bit. I still think he's a good quarterback, and I still think they're going to have a good season. I'm still high on my 49ers over prediction. All that being said, I feel like the Giants know how to play them. They're going to keep it close, and that's why I like 5 points here.
Yep, I'm with you. All right, next up, Sunday Night Football. This is a doozy. The Green Bay Packers travel to Houston to play my Houston Texans. Texans laying 3.5. I got to be honest. This line opened at 5. I thought that was the right line. I think they properly downgraded Green Bay a little bit. Houston's just been so good on all three phases. Brian Cushing out. Not sure that's a big deal when you have J.J. Watt in the middle. Foster
dude, that
running
guy just,
the ball.
I mean, we were watching him Monday night. He was just dominating the
line.
That
dude's awesome. I mean, he... It reminded me of watching Ndamukong Suh play in college against Texas in that Big 12 championship game where he just took over the game. Very surprised. The line has come all the way down to 3 in some places with some juice. It's 3.5 in our contest. I love this game. I don't know if it's a square play laying the 3.5 with the Texans. I feel like
I maybe
would have taken the Texans at 4.5, 5. I probably would have leaned that way. So at 3.5, I love it.
Maybe by that half point, if you're a little, your butthole's a little tight there around that hook.
You can find some shops that have 3 plus 3 or a minus 3, minus 120, 25.
Ryan, this Green Bay team is not the Green Bay team of last year. Well, I don't know what's going to have to happen.
They can't stop the run. They can't really run the ball. I mean, there aren't those
people like to talk about. Oh, they lost that game because of the refs. Yeah, but that Seattle team, they sacked Aaron Rodgers 8 times in the first half without them making an adjustment. This team is not the team they were.
They're not going to be able to block J.J. Watt and Connor Barwin. And I mean,
It just seems like a bad matchup for them. They're coming off a deflating loss with another road game. Granted, Houston's coming off a short week, but I just feel like Houston is a much, much better team, and this Packers team feels snake-bitten. They have not looked in rhythm on offense, and their defense has not been great. Give me the Houston all day here.
Yeah, it seems like a good spot for Houston. I don't know. I guess the one concern is they have Baltimore coming to town next week. They might look ahead a little bit. But how do you look ahead when you're playing the MVP and the Packers? I think
they get fired up for this game.
I think they make a statement. All right. Monday Night Football, little AFC West action. Your Denver Broncos, Sean, travel to San Diego to face Norv Turner and the Chargers.
Ooh, tough.
Yeah, I fully expected this to be a 3-point game. I don't see any reason why it's not 3. It's 1.5. For that reason alone, I will be taking the Chargers. I think they looked all right last week. I think we talked about it a little bit. Maybe the Broncos are a team you bet when they're dogs, but I like the Chargers in this spot. I think it's a big game. They can go up 2.5 in the division. Give me the Chargers.
Ryan, you talked me in with your... I was kind of thinking Chargers, but now I'm going to go with the Broncos. I like Peyton Manning on Monday night. I think he is set. He's been playing pretty good, but I think he wants to make up for his previous poor performance on Monday night. I don't see him having 2 bad Monday night games back-to-back. Like you said, I think you take the Broncos as a dog and fade them as a favorite. I like them getting a couple points here, and I just not really believing in this San Diego team. I felt like that New Orleans loss was pretty tough.
Yeah. I see your point coming off a bad loss, but I think they were able to do some good things, and I really like the way Ryan Matthews looks. I think he's going to get more carries, and I think that will be the difference in the game.
All right, well, we can agree to disagree, Ryan. We'll let the old picks shake out and see what happens.
I cannot wait to talk about my lock of the week.
All right, well, lay it on us, Ryan. What's your lock of the week?
I'll let you take the Close Your Eyes special this week, Sean.
Oh, well, that's kind of cheating. All right. Obviously, we feel like Buffalo's a lock just because of the situational play.
All right.
I like Atlanta. That's kind of my lock.
Yeah.
I'm going on that.
And I will tell you to lock up the Texans. I was gonna say the Ravens, but I just think the Texans win this game big.
So that feels right.
Who do you got for your money line underdog pick of the week?
Oh, ooh,
a lot of 3.5 and 4.5 point spreads this week.
Yeah, no big spreads, man, except for the Raiders.
You take your Seahawks in the 12th man.
Yeah, give me the Seahawks, and also like the under because people are just hammering that over. Give me Seattle. Take Seattle. Take the money line. Parlay it with the under. Just bite your nails. Suck it up and watch the Seattle Magic go to work.
So obviously, it would be easy for me to throw out the New York Giants here.
Yeah, that was the other one I was contemplating, but couldn't take
Giants
it just out of spite.
Going off as we speak, at a very juicy +235.
I mean, that's a solid play. Even as a biased Eagles fan, if you're getting the former Super Bowl champs at over +200, they haven't. It's not like they've looked horrible. They've looked pretty solid. So you can get them +200 over on any sort of game. I feel like that's a good play.
Yeah, especially I was actually gonna not take that and take. Actually, I'm still not gonna take it.
Pussy.
I'm gonna take Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Even though the money line's only 215.
I mean, what seems more probable? Tennessee winning?
Yeah, that is crazy. But it's one of these games in the NFL. Short week, coming off a tough win, going on the road.
Thursday dogs have been killing it. I don't know. I feel like the past 3 at least hit.
A desperate team. They're 1-4 now. This is a game Tennessee needs.
Ryan, I told you off pod, Chris Johnson's new nickname.
Yeah.
Call him Iceberg. You know why? moves slow, and he takes out fantasy teams as if they were the Titanic.
Well said, Sean. But yeah, I think we both endorse Tennessee as a play, and don't be afraid to sprinkle a little bit on the money line.
Okay, right. My three-team tees, already threw it in.
Oh, got, really? Nice.
Yeah, I got Cincinnati plus six. Okay. I didn't want to lose that pick'em there. Cincinnati plus six, Indianapolis plus nine, and I also have Atlanta minus three.
All right. Well, like I said, I'm going to take the Falcons. Get it down to that nice 2.5 number.
Yeah, I mean, you might. I got it at three, but
I'm also going to send the Buffalo Bills up to 10. Crossing 7 and 10. Woo! Get up to 10.5. And I don't like it. I really don't like doing this. Man. But I'm going to, even though I said I think the Chargers win this game, I'm going to tease the Broncos up to 7.5, just because you're crossing some nice numbers there. Wow. Peyton has shown he will backdoor games.
Especially primetime.
I think this feels...
Yeah. Ryan, you're not going to take Giants plus 11, plus 12?
Obviously, I saw that, and I don't want to jinx the Giants. That's why I'm not taking them in a money line or a tease fashion. But, yeah, we're gonna go with the... Actually, late pick. Let's move the Colts to plus 9. I missed that one when I was going down.
Yeah, that's what I...
So Colts plus 9, Falcons minus 2.5, and Bills plus 10.5.
Lock it up. All right, Ryan. Sounds like we got a ton of action. Everyone, make sure you check out the website, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. You can nominate us for one of the best podcast on Stitcher in the sports category, and you can also of course listen to the podcast on Stitcher. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can support the podcast by clicking that Amazon banner, and of course follow us on Twitter at Gambling Podcast. We'll get back at you, retweet winning picks, answer questions, whatever you guys want. For the Sports Gambling Podcast, I am Sean Stacking the Money Green, and he is Ryan.
Big game, Raul Ibanez.
Kramer, let it ride.